From Heaven with Love. Chapter 36. The Touch of Faith Brings Healing. Returning from Gergesa to the western shore of Lake Galilee, Jesus found a multitude gathered to receive him. He remained by the seaside for a time, teaching and healing, and then went to the house of Levi Matthew to meet the publicans at the feast. Here Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, found him. In great distress he exclaimed, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed. And she shall live." Jesus set out at once with the ruler for his home. The disciples were surprised at his compliance with the entreaty of the haughty rabbi, yet they accompanied their master, and the people followed. Jesus and his companions advanced slowly, for the crowd pressed him on every side. The anxious father was impatient, but Jesus stopped now and then to relieve suffering, or to comfort a troubled heart. While they were on the way, a messenger pressed through the crowd, bearing the news that Jairus's daughter was dead. The word caught the ear of Jesus. "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." Together they hurried to the ruler's home. Already hired mourners and flute players were filling the air with their clamor. Jesus tried to silence them, "Why make ye this ado, and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." They were indignant at the words of the stranger. They had seen the child in the embrace of death. Requiring them all to leave, Jesus took the father and mother of the maiden, and Peter, James, and John, and entered the chamber of death. Jesus approached the bedside and, taking the child's hand in his own, pronounced softly, in the familiar language of her home, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." Instantly a tremor passed through the unconscious form. The eyes opened widely as if from sleep, and the maiden gazed with wonder on the group beside her. She arose, and her parents clasped her in their arms, and wept for joy. On the way to the ruler's house, Jesus had met a poor woman who for 12 years had suffered from a disease that made her life a burden. She had spent all her means on physicians and remedies, only to be pronounced incurable. But her hopes revived when she heard of Christ. If she could only go to him, she would be healed. In weakness and suffering she came to the seaside where he was teaching, and tried to press through the crowd, but in vain. She followed him from the house of Levi Matthew, but was still unable to reach him. She had begun to despair when he came near where she was. She was in the presence of the great physician. But amid the confusion she could not speak to him or catch more than a passing glimpse of him. Fearful of losing her one chance of relief, she pressed forward, saying to herself, "If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole." As he was passing, she reached forward and succeeded in barely touching the border of his garment. In that one touch was concentrated the faith of her life. And instantly her pain and feebleness gave place to the vigor of perfect health. With grateful heart she tried to withdraw from the crowd, but suddenly Jesus stopped. Looking about, he asked in a voice distinctly heard above the confusion, "Who touched me?" Jostled on all sides, as he was, it seemed a strange inquiry. Peter, ever ready to speak, said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" Jesus answered, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." The savior could distinguish the touch of faith from the casual contact of the careless throng. Such trust should not be passed without comment. He would speak to the humble woman words of comfort, words that would be a blessing to his followers to the close of time. Looking toward the woman, Jesus insisted on knowing who had touched him. Finding concealment vain, she came forward, trembling. With grateful tears she told of her suffering and how she had found relief. Jesus said, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." He gave no opportunity for superstition to claim healing virtue for touching his garments. Through the faith which took hold on his divine power, the cure was wrought. Living faith brings healing. To talk of religion in a casual way, to pray without soul hunger and living faith, avails nothing. A nominal faith, which accepts Christ merely as the Savior of the world, can never bring healing to the soul. Faith is not mere intellectual assent to truth. It is not enough to believe about Christ. We must believe in Him. Saving faith is a transaction by which those who receive Christ join themselves in covenant relation with God. Genuine faith means an increase of vigor, a confiding trust, by which the soul becomes a conquering power. After healing the woman, Jesus desired her to acknowledge the blessing she had received. The gifts which the gospel offers are not to be enjoyed in secret. Our confession of His faithfulness is heaven's chosen agency for revealing Christ to the world. That which will be most effectual is the testimony of our own experience. Acknowledgments of His grace, when supported by a Christ-like life, have irresistible power that works for the salvation of souls. When the 10 lepers came to Jesus for healing, they were cleansed. But only one returned to give Him glory. The others went their way, forgetting Him who had made them whole. How many still do the same thing? The Lord raises up the sick, He delivers men from peril, He commissions angels to save them from calamity, to guard them from pestilence and destruction. Yet they are unmindful of His great love. By ingratitude they close their hearts against the grace of God. It is for our own benefit to keep every gift of God fresh in our memory. Thus faith is strengthened. Let us, then, remember the loving kindness of the Lord. And as we review God's dealings with us, let us declare, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me?"